This is The Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, back to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. It's all about music this week, all over Las Vegas. The Electric Daisy Carnival is back this weekend at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. All of the artists, or so many of the artists that are playing EDC, are taking over the clubs on the Strip, and all of the attendees of the festival, or headliners as they're called by Insomniac, the creator of EDC, are taking over the Strip as well. It's all about different kinds of dance music, and that's one of the things I'm going to talk to you about today on this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Actually, I'm going to let somebody else talk about it. Somebody who has been a huge part of the scene, the club scene, the music scene on the Strip for a long, long time, more than a decade. Cascade, one of the most popular DJs and producers of this genre of music, has always maintained, or seems always maintained, a residency at whatever the hottest new club is around Vegas. He helped really launch the clubscape the way we know it at Wynn. He's had residency at Hakkasan Group's major venues more recently. And now he is a part of the lineup at Chaos at the Palms. He's going to be performing there this weekend, as well as spinning at EDC, of course. I spoke with him recently, and really cool interview, shed some light on what it's like to be a part of kind of the foundation of the dance music scene and the club scene in Las Vegas. Here's Cascade.
What do you think was a bigger influence in bringing you to Chaos? Was it just the venue itself, or working with the team at the Palms?
Working with the team at the Palms was the big draw for me. New, fresh, innovative ideas. I think these guys, you know, and I think that's part of the reason why the club's so big. They're really pushing themselves to try new and interesting things in this space and redefine what a mega club is and what a live music venue can be in Las Vegas. And that's really what interested me. I think, you know, with anything, once you find a formula that works, everybody's just there kind of copying it and churning and burning and doing, you know, going with the tried and true recipe that's working. And mm-hmm. I feel lately in Vegas, that's the case. So for me, I was really interested in working with people that were kind of, looking at it and taking a fresh approach to night clubbing and to electronic music. That's really what interested me. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then I wasn't surprised by the, you know, when they rolled out the plans for the club, and I was like, whoa, this, you guys aren't joking around. You really are taking a different approach to it. And I mean, that goes with the programming as well, right? I think for a moment there in Las Vegas, everybody was just like, oh, great, house music works so well, EDM, EDM, EDM. And that's certainly the case. You know, Vegas lends itself well to that sound. But these guys were like, look, we want to be programming stuff all across the board from, you know, Latin to pop music to, hip hop. And we feel like you and your sound has a real space here within this kind of, you know, musical fabric that we're weaving. And that whole idea was really interesting. But like I said, I think when they initially pitched me, it was just kind of like a bunch of fresh ideas, that being one of them, that really kind of stood out. And I knew that I wanted to be involved with that.
Yeah, you've definitely been a big part of this musical space in Vegas for a long time, at least 10 years. You've played at really every major club in Vegas. It seems like every time the quote-unquote next big thing opens, they come calling to get you on as a resident. What's what's kind of your secret to longevity in Las Vegas?
I think I'm kind of like everyone's rabbit foot, the lucky rabbit foot that you rub for you. Like, okay, roll the dice. Let's roll the lucky rabbit foot. I don't know exactly what that is, but I believe that, you know, I was there at the Wynn when they initially opened the Encore Beach Club, and everybody was saying something like, this will never work. And I was one of the very few people who was like, me and Mr. Wynn versus the world, that was saying, but no, electronic music can work. You know, and the guys there at the Wynn that were putting it together, Sean Christie, at the time was, heading that up. He's no longer there, but you know, it was me, Sean Christie, and a handful of other guys that had put the idea together. And I really went to them and said, hey, let me do a residency. You know, I'd been going back and forth to Ibiza and some of these other places that understood the idea of a seasonal residency, and nobody was doing that in Vegas. So when they approached me with the idea of Encore Beach Club, I said, look, you know, this is in 2009. So yeah, it really is a decade ago. You know, I'd been DJing at clubs all over town leading up to that, but because I felt like there's kind of this bubbling over moment. People were interested in 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009. You could see like, wow, something's going to change. But it was, you know, Sean Christie over there that really had the vision to build a club that kind of was a destination and that, you know, was curated electronic music. And I was really fortunate to come to be a part of that and really to come with them, to come to them with the idea of like, let's make this a residency. Don't have me be, you know, an occasional guest. I want to sit here and, you know, pick and curate the talent with you. And I really think the idea of a residency here in Las Vegas could work. You know, and it's funny to think back now, but, you know, the entire industry, most of my friends and colleagues were, you know, laughing. This will never, ever work in Vegas. And I was like, all right, cool. I just think it was such a European concept that they didn't think it could work here in America. You know, here we are a decade later, and it's like, I mean, people have all but forgot about Ibiza and all the residencies over there. I mean, obviously it still exists and it's still in a really important place, but Vegas is, you know, insanely important. But I think because I was involved in that initial concept and the initial rollout of what nightclubbing is in Vegas, that people still look to me as an important part of, you know, what this can be and what it, you know, what it could be. And the guys at the Palms recognize that. And it's awesome. It's awesome to be in that position.
Once again, Cascade will be at the EDC Festival this weekend and will also be at Chaos at the Palms to kind of close out this big week of dance music in Vegas. He's doing Chaos Day Club on Sunday. So EDM will rule for the coming days. But of course, in Las Vegas today, especially on the Strip, there's always plenty of variety, and there are some major resident headliners returning to their gigs this week. Pitbull is back at Zappos Theater Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Celine Dion is at the Coliseum Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And Janet Jackson opens her Metamorphosis residency at Park Theater Friday and Saturday. I'm excited for that one. I'm going to be there Friday. And then one of the biggest or one of the longest running residencies that sometimes somehow slips under the radar is back this week too. It's Santana at the House of Blues. And it's a really big year for Carlos Santana. Not only is he celebrating 7 years at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay and marking the 50th anniversary of his legendary performance at the original Woodstock Festival, he's also about to release a new album next month, Africa Speaks. It's his first real, I guess, album-length foray into world music, and he hit the Strip earlier this week for a little listening party at the House of Blues. I was there. I got to hear several songs from the album, all of which feature the amazing Spanish singer Buica, and the whole thing was recorded with another legend, producer Rick Rubin. It's always a special time when you get a chance to speak with Carlos Santana. He's so funny and just, you know, spiritual, and he kind of zens you out and blisses you up. Here's a little bit of our chat this week.
You talked about, it was many years ago that you kind of came up with the idea of doing this music and working with Rick Rubin. What kind of, I guess, took you, or you had to wait for everything to kind of line up to get this project together this way, or?
It's kind of like asking a woman when you're pregnant, well, how come it took you so long, you know, for the baby to come out and stuff, you know? It's like, hey, you know, you know, it happens when it happens, you know? I welcome it, you know, but I had to be patient, knowing that we could never have done it without Wicca or Cindy or the musicians, and especially the songs, you know, also, you know, because it's hard to tell when one begins and the other one ends, you know, with Wicca and Rick Rubin and the African songs. Everything is like that now. Está cocido, delicioso, you know, it's cooked through and through, you know. I'm just really, really grateful. This is an incredible opportunity to present to the world real alternative frequency.
This is your seventh year at the House of Blues now. I'm assuming that you're going to be here a little while longer. I know you love Las Vegas. You talked all about your connection to the community. What do you think about kind of joining this, or being, you already are a part of this group of legendary Las Vegas performers, people that are so closely tied to Las Vegas entertainment. You're in that group. You're probably going to become a stronger part of it. What does that mean to you?
It's a great honor, you know. We want to invite people from all over the world to come here and witness something that you don't have over there. Because we're alive. We're very alive. And while we're here, you need to hear this frequency, because not too many musicians bring it. You know, a lot of people be shocking and jiving, slipping and sliding, and a medias, which means they only give it half an effort. We play 150 out of 100. You know, and I'm not boasting, I'm just saying it's all about intensity of spirit. Mm-hmm. Bring delicious intensity. Don't bring... This is why, you know, look at the colors and the sound and the presentation, from Wicca to Congo players, everybody. It's something that the world needs right now, some effervescent joy.
But real.
Real.
And pure.
And pure.
You know, no mask anymore.
No.
You know, no filters.
No.
You heard a little bit of Buika chiming in there as well. She's so great. And such a great vocal match for Santana. I was kind of listening in on them talking about how in some of those songs you can't tell whether it's her voice or his guitar kind of dueling on the track. It's pretty awesome stuff. Santana is at the House of Blues for 7 shows this month, starting on the 15th, and then he won't be back until September, but he just added several more dates to his fall schedule. Definitely plan to catch his show if you haven't already. It's a classic. Shifting from music to food, a pretty big announcement from Wynn Las Vegas this week. Andrea's, the clubby Asian restaurant, situated right next to Encore Beach Club, is going to transform into a new contemporary Mexican restaurant in the first quarter of next year via a partnership with acclaimed restaurateurs Enrique Olvera, Daniela Soto Innes, and Santiago Perez, who are the people behind Cosme and Atla in New York City, and they have another new restaurant coming to LA later this year. This is a big deal for a bunch of reasons. First, Wynn and Encore have never had a Mexican restaurant. They both have always had plenty of fine dining options when it comes to Asian food and Italian and French and all the high roller type of restaurant experiences. This is a first, but it's also not surprising considering that in recent years there have been so many different kinds of Mexican and Latin restaurants starting to make a dent on the Strip, especially next door at Venetian and Palazzo, which has Chica and Sugar Cane and Once. It's also significant because Andrea's, of course, is named for Steve Wynn's wife, and so it's another step away from the Wynn legacy, But probably it's more significant because Andreas is a very social experience. It's definitely designed for a younger audience, that club audience. It's the pre-club destination at Wynn and Encore. And this new restaurant is definitely going to follow along those lines. And remember, this comes on the heels of last month's announcement that Delilah, a very cool West Hollywood supper club concept from the H. Wood Group, is going to open at Wynn next year also. So they got a pair of very hit projects on the way. Also this week, Eataly at Park MGM announced some new programming designed to attract locals to the Strip. Nevada residents get a 10% discount on all retail non-menu items in the marketplace and the wine shop. And there's also a bunch of weekly programs that locals can get 20% off, like Wine Wednesday, for example. You can find the details at Eataly.com. I will say I've spent quite a bit of time in Eataly, and I've done some shopping there as well as eating. And it can be a bit expensive to eat, but it's pretty reasonable to shop there. So to get an additional 10% off, I may have to make that my new favorite grocery store. I don't know. It's really good stuff. Pretty reasonable prices. One more cool Strip story that came out this week, and you can read all about this one at LasVegasSun.com. ESPN is joining forces with Caesars Entertainment to build a new ESPN-branded studio at the Link Hotel and Casino, where, and I quote, sports betting-themed content will be created along with segments for ESPN's recently launched sports betting-related show, Daily Wager. Caesars data and branding will also be integrated across ESPN programming within the coming weeks for use across ESPN's content, unquote. This is just another cool development in the evolution of sports betting in Las Vegas and across the country, really. And another example of Caesars continuing some really interesting projects at the Link that I think are establishing a new identity for that property. The studio is set to launch in 2020. Great timing, of course, considering the NFL will land in Vegas that fall. What's taking over the Strip this week? Well, EDC is not the only big gun in town. The Hospitality Design Expo and Conference is bringing almost 19,000 people to the Mandalay Bay Convention Center through Friday. And the Arbonne International Global Training Conference, that would be Arbonne, the huge skincare, bath and body brand, has 25,000 attendees at MGM Grand through Saturday. May is such a busy month, and it's crazy. This is just the middle. We still have Memorial Day weekend coming up. Wow. My one big show this week is definitely Janet Jackson at Park Theater. Already mentioned it at the top of the show. She has already added 3 dates in August before she's even started. So now she's got a total of 18 shows scheduled in 2019. And that's only until the end of August. So if they have any open spaces in fall or winter, maybe she'll be back. Who knows? I think this one's going to be a big win for everybody. And you can find more weekend entertainment options this Friday and every Friday with my Best Bets column at LasVegasSun.com. That's it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast on Apple Podcasts so you can help The Sun on the Strip grow and get noticed. I really appreciate it. You can also listen to past episodes on our site at LasVegasSun.com/podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you next week.